Bonnie Guy, everyone. This is Professor Alvin Rao, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, and former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. Longtime community activist and founder, one of the co-founders of the Black World Institute. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. Tonight we have a very important guest and a very important presentation. Tonight we have Dr. Bill Weatherford, Relaford, who is a multi-genius by the historical description of what Dr. A.J. Rogers described Imhotep. Imhotep was a physician, was an architect, was a dentist. He built the first pyramid. He was a mathematician. As a matter of fact, black doctors go to the Imhotep oath and have a conference. Well, Dr. Relaford fits that because he's an entrepreneur, he's a physician, and he's a farmer. So he meets the criteria for multi-genius. And so that's why I have so much respect for this brother, because he's helped so many people. So many people with various issues, movie stars, entertainers with podiatry issues, where he saved their foot from amputations, as well as he's worked with various individuals with illnesses. And he not only he used his own form of physician healing, what I call physician healing. Well, tonight he's going to talk about the real pharmacy and a couple other issues. We talked about women treating their sons like husbands and other issues that we need to, some single mothers are doing that. And we're going to talk about a number of issues that me and him have discussed on the phone. But before we get started, I want to introduce our panel this evening, and that is Brother Ernest McBride, Ernest McBride Sr. This is Ernest McBride Jr., who is a historical archive of his father's legacy, a historian and an archivist of his father's legacy. They have collected literature. They've built schools, named schools, parks, recreation centers after his father, who started the first NAACP in Long Beach, and who was a community and optimist club, as well as a community activist in facilitating jobs for black people throughout Long Beach and challenging its racist traditions, institutions, and laws. And Ernest kept up the work. He's a veteran, and he's a Ernest Jr. is a veteran and a strong brother and committed to the Long Beach community as far as this improvement. We have Brother Joe Hembrick, a historian, who's a former administrator for Linwood Unified School District and Compton Unified School District, an educator, a teacher, the first black head coach for Linwood Unified School District varsity, as well as a historian of the Maat tradition and ancient Egypt, and we are glad to have him on this evening. And we have Brother Rashiki. Right now, Brother Rashiki is responsible for this platform. He's the one that put it together, Conscious Community Education Network. He provides the Conscious Corner platform every Tuesday, and we on tomorrow night on Wednesday. So every Tuesday and Wednesday, if you want to know about actual facts about black, tune in. So we're going to get started with Dr. Relaford, and he's going to talk about various challenges of what a real pharmacy is. But most people think it's Rite Aid. Some people think it's Walgreens. Then some people think it's CVS. But Dr. Relaford is going to let you know what the real pharmacy is. Dr. Relaford, go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank you first, Professor Ra, for all the work you've done over the decades and how you have made people first in everything that you've done as a professor, as a mentor. I'm sure you've touched lives that you know and some that you don't know.
That's right.
Lives of those you know and you don't know. And as men and women, as folks that are focused on serving our people, you never know who's watching you how you move, watching you how you serve. So I want to just commend you, Professor Ross, to still, even at your maturity level, like fine wine, you still are finding an opportunity and a space to continue. I never like to use the word purpose. I use the word assignment. Assignment means you have deliverables to humanity. When you say purpose, that's too wishy-washy. You know, so I'd like to just, my opening statements would like to just congratulate and commend, number one, Professor Raw, and of course the people that have been working with him for such an important platform as this. So first of all, I'm humbled and honored to be able to share in this very short period of time just some thoughts about what I've seen in our community and across the country. You all may know that I'm the founder of the Black Barbershop Health Outreach Program, which screened over 30,000 African-American men across the country for diabetes and high blood pressure in Black-owned barbershops around the country. And through that journey, we've seen a few things, and we've seen some things that I think that this world perhaps may not truly understand as it relates to African-American men and the plight that we face in particular. It's easy to say that Black men don't care about their health, but I say that health doesn't care about Black men. Mm-hmm. And that when you see that we are bigger than our prostates, we have emotional issues, we have mental issues, we cry. Sometimes we want to cry, but we can't cry because you got to show up strong with your family. So we don't have a lot of spaces for us to be completely authentic and unpack a lot of the things that bother us. So I wrote a book 15 years ago called Five Colors a Day to Better Health. When I found out that my health is patients, ain't five colors. So all of the patients that were 80, 90, and 100 years old, they had five colors. They had glowing skin. They had silky hair. And they were in their 80s, 90s, and 100 years old. And one patient in particular, we're going to call him Mr. Jones. He was 104 years old. Anyone that's 104 years old, you may want to pause and sit down and take out a notepad and take out a few notes because they probably know a few things. So I said, you know, what do you eat and what do you do? He says, people talk about reading a label. He says, if it's got a label, I won't eat it. He said, you think that I can trust what a man has slapped on the back of a box? But I trust what comes out the ground. I trust God and what comes out the ground. And that leads me to my book, Five Colors Day to Better Health. But the new title this time is called The Real Pharmacy, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, Five Colors Day to Better Health. And we count colors, not calories. All of the programs that we see out there right now, and we've seen them all, the Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig, and they talk about counting calories. I think counting calories makes you feel like you're a lab rat or a lab experiment. That should not be what life is about. So when I talk to members of my patients and even members of my family, thank you so much for that. And this is Five Colors a Day to Better Health. And of course, the subtitle was called Your Guide to Being Fit, Focused, Faithful, and Financial. If you want to be healthy, you got to be fit. I've give talks, Professor Raw, called Fit to Serve and Fit to Lead. In our community with our people, you got to be super, for you almost got to be Wakanda forever to serve the people and all the problems that we're dealing with as a people. So with the Real Pharmacy, we talk about food really is medicine. So let's talk about how we even got here. How did we get here where we are the most technologically advanced country in the world, but we have health outcomes that rival that of developing nations? Something is wrong with that situation. What do you think, Professor Rao? I'll pause for a little bit. You know, how did we get here? We have missiles that can go around the world. We have astronauts that can go to the moon. They even talk about going to Mars. But yet, we have the worst health outcomes. We got a pill for every ill. Should I open up for just a little discussion, or should I keep, yeah,
Professor? Keep going for a little while. You're rolling. I love it.
Yeah. How did we get here? So I did a little research on several of the people that have their DNA on how we got here as a country. So Rockefeller, bona fide entrepreneur, he did something very critical when he was building his empire. He orchestrated the food pyramid in a way to create profit over people. He's the one who engineered three meals a day. Three meals a day that were loaded with carbs, cereal in the morning to feed Kellogg's, bread with sandwiches to feed the other ones, and pastas and so on and so forth. And all those carbs has led to obesity, diabetes, heart attacks, and strokes. So that food system was developed in a way to generate profit, where African Americans in particular have been eating cheap foods and coming down with some of the worst diseases known to man. So with my book, Five Colors of Data, Better Health, or The Real Pharmacy, I talk about the food specifically from a food as medicine perspective that you should eat if you want to improve your memory, if you want to decrease the likelihood of high blood pressure, arthritis. Even we have a little small section for those women going through menopause, and we know what that can be like. So we got help for everybody who's going there. We even have a section for men and their sexual health. So everything that we want to aspire to be and to optimize our health starts with what comes out of the ground. In addition to that, we have to recognize the fact that we live in a society where there's a pill for every ill. So in my estimate, Professor Raw, they don't want you dead. They don't want you healthy either. They want you in the middle. They want you in limbo, where you can feed the various entrepreneurs, whether it's the pharmaceutical industry, whether it's the other things that keep us chronic and ill, so we can stay feeding the pockets of other people and institutions and things like that. So this is what I've seen in my 35, now 36 years of practice. I have a program that I'm starting called Black Limbs Matter, Professor Raw, where we found out that when the reimbursement rate for amputation went higher than saving a leg, that the amputation rate in the Black community skyrocketed. Once again, profits over people. In fact, we call that a cashectomy. You talk about an appendectomy, we talk about a cashectomy, where they want more reimbursement out of people that don't have any emotional connection to them. So In this society, I believe that we have strategically and conveniently distanced ourselves from African Americans emotionally, so it's easy for us to do the things that they do, where they give you procedures you don't deserve or you don't need, like an amputation or mastectomy or hysterectomy, because you're not really human. However, that's why it's so important for us to encourage more African Americans to go into healthcare. Because when I see my patients, Professor Raw, I see Big Mama, I see Uncle Toby, I see Aunt Rosie, I see all, they don't see that when they see our patients come into the treatment room. And another thing, another study they found out, and we've all heard it, but now it's documented. The patients would say, when I was over there, Dr. Rutherford, they act like they didn't want to touch my mama. They just looked at her. Well, a critical study just came out not too long ago. They studied how white doctors interact with black patients versus how black doctors interact with black patients. And they documented that white doctors make less eye contact with black patients, number one. White doctors touch less than black doctors with their patients. So the things that we thought were just in our head have been documented from a very academic perspective. When we see that white doctors don't want to touch or even look at a black patient, we'll pause for a second and get any feedback. You're on mute, Professor Roth. You're mute.
All right. All right. And we've had some of our team join. Brother Ahi out of Detroit, a strong brother, and we're glad to have him here. And Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana here. And Dr. Sharita from Ghana and Compton. And my brother Khalid. And you just had Peggy out there at the ranch. Yeah, she's on. And so we're gonna start with some of our regular people, see if they have any questions, and then we'll get to the guests here. Brother Ernest, you have any questions so far?
Well, no, you know, only when he was said about the doctors, but my doctor was Ethiopian, and now I got to find me another doctor. But I kind of see what he was. But I had some pretty good doctors in the past that was hands-on, you know.
Okay.
And my wife had one for like, he's retired, so now we got to change with her. But see, she's bedridden and had dementia now since December 99. And so she's, you know, it's kind of tough. We can't get her to the doctor.
Mm. And that's always a challenge of transportation.
Right. She's like 290, you know, and so I'm a full-time caregiver, but I got my daughter helping me out and my granddaughter. So
okay.
A couple of times a week, so.
Okay. But Dr. Rutherford, you said something about five colors for good health and things of this nature. Could you go over those colors?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Miss Peggy, thank you for coming out to the farm. I just saw your message. You were out there. You had the olive oil. How do you like our olive oil and some of the stuff that you purchased?
Peggy, you on mute?
She just sent a message through the chat. Okay. So the five colors. So my goal has always been to simplify very complicated things. And I want to talk a little bit before I dive into the five colors about, you know, strategies on how, when you go to the store, how you should shop. I always talk about the fact that the healthiest foods are on the periphery of the store, not in the aisles. Most stores are outlined the same way. You walk in, and all the produce is around the walls. You have your deli department, your fresh meats, your fish, your dairy, your eggs and cheese and things like that, and maybe a bakery. So if you're in the middle of the aisles, chances are you're where you shouldn't be. So with five colors, we talk about, of course, some of the red, right? That's your beets, your tomatoes. So I used to do a lot of things with Career Day, Professor Raw, where I would ask the kids to name something red. Mm-hmm. I think I was in Compton this particular day. Mm-hmm. I asked a little boy in the back, you know, name something red. You know what he said? Barbecue. I said, no, barbecue is not one of the colors, young man. You know, but we find that a lot of our kids have very limited, even our grown people, limited vegetable vocabulary. You can always tell if you go to the store, if the cashier has to look up the vegetable. When I go, they say, well, we don't really sell this much of it. Let me go call the manager to get the price on it. That means you know that people are not buying that item that much. So we talk about our colors, we're talking about our beets. So beets are very powerful because they have nitric oxide in them. That's one of my favorite foods because it will lower your blood pressure very, very naturally. And also it helps with physical exercise as well. It also helps men with their ability to do their homework. I just leave it like that. And male sexual enhancement. That's the easiest thing to do for that. So your beets are very, very powerful. When I eat my beets, I eat the leaves and also the beet itself. So don't throw away the leaves. You can make a salad out of the leaves of the beet. You can even stir fry it or steam it like it's a spinach. It's very, very powerful. So we end up throwing away a whole lot of things that are very, very powerful. So red is, the beet is my favorite color as a vegetable and the things that it can do. So let's talk about, let's say broccoli. Broccoli is incredible in that it's in what's called the brassica family. The brassica family are your broccolis, your cauliflowers, your cabbages. And that's very good for kidney health. Kidney health, those patients who want to avoid kidney stones in particular or strengthen their kidneys, we recommend that they eat steamed broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage. It's very powerful in that. Now, let's talk a little bit about broccoli. Most people think that broccoli is just the floret, the part that has a little floret part. But surprisingly, the leaves of the broccoli are more powerful than the floret. So there's a lot of studies that show that, and a lot of stories that I know of, that you go to the market and people who know, they go to Whole Foods or Sprouts and they'll go in the back and say, give me the leaves of the broccoli, don't throw those away. And they give them to them or they sell it to them. So I'll take my broccoli leaves, I'll steam them, I'll cook them like I'm stir frying some spinach like that. So don't ever throw away the broccoli leaves. Go ahead and buy the broccoli with all the leaves on it. Take those leaves and you can stir fry them with your scrambled eggs and so on and so forth. Like that. And so let's talk about another powerful vegetable. Let's talk about that good old collard green. That collard green is a staple in our community. It has a lot of anti-carcinogenic agents in that collard green. But see, at Bloom Ranch, you don't have to cook our collard greens. They're not tough like leather. You go to the store and it looks like leather, like you can make a belt or a jacket out of them. At Bloom Ranch, our collard greens are tender, just, and they melt down just like butter. We have a whole lot of people who talk about just how powerful and how flavorful our collard greens are. Now, I do want to say this. I'm very proud at Bloom Ranch that that property, that 250 acres, has never, ever been sprayed with pesticides. Never, ever. And unfortunately, this administration has allowed for the first time, I think, in 30 or 40 years, for forever chemicals now can be used on farms across the country. Forever chemicals are the ones that never degrade and they stay in the environment forever. Some of those chemicals are all the way up in the North Pole, South Pole with the polar bears and all that other stuff like that. They never degrade, they end at the bottom of the ocean. And so now, so we don't use forever chemicals at our farm. We're very, very proud of that. And the flavor is something that I believe when you taste those collard greens, Professor Raw. And matter of fact, what do you want us to see? We have cauliflower, we got broccoli, we've got collard greens, we've got Swiss chard, which is out of sight. You want all those, Professor Rod? This is
my wife wants them all. She got to have it. She said, I don't care what color they are. She know about the farm. She matter of fact, her and her girlfriends are planning a trip to come up there.
Well, you make sure you let me know. I want to make sure we receive her, the first lady, appropriately. We'll make sure we receive her appropriately.
All right. I'll let you know. They're getting together. They're getting their trip together.
Exactly. And we're very proud that Bloom Ranch has turned out to be almost a little destination. And before I go through all the other colors, I do want to talk about Bloom Ranch and how it became to be with me. Bloom Ranch was established in 1891. As you can imagine, in 1891, what our people may have been enduring at that time, just a few decades away from slavery at that time. So to have the honor and the courtesy to be the curator over that land is quite an honor and humbling to me. And so I happen to be the third curator or the third person to take this property to the next level. When it was presented to me, it was dilapidated and junk everywhere. It looked like a junkyard. And I see Peggy, she's typing. I'm not sure she can talk, but she was there. Right now, we have turned it into something that I think the world and the community is proud of. In fact, I was told that there we go, the largest Black owned organic farm in Los Angeles. And that kind of gives you an idea of what we do there. So that's 250 acres in LA County. And you know, when it was presented to me, I thought I had made a mistake, Professor Rob, because I looked at like, what have I just done? Did I just waste a whole lot of money? But sometimes you got to listen to the ancestors times. And I talk about the real AI. Let's talk about ancestral intelligence, the real AI. Why would you want some artificial when you can get the real thing from the ancestors? So I heard a voice that said, move on this. And sometimes instinct is way better than intellect. And so this is a spiritual place as well at Bloom Ranch, where you can be still. Stillness, solitude, and silence. Stillness, solitude, and silence is where you really get connected to your real creativity and your ability to innovate. So I will say that Bloom Ranch is a part of me leaning into ancestral intelligence, the real AI. Why would you want something artificial when you can have the real thing? How do you like that real AI, Professor Brock?
I love it. I love it. I draw on it all the time.
Right. Yeah. So that's what we have right there. So let's talk about some other colors. Let's talk about some of the yellows of the world. Let's talk. Can we get somebody on the audience to name something yellow? Name something yellow. Name a yellow vegetable.
Yellow.
Squash. They got the yellow
Squash.
squash. And
Give me another one. Give me another one.
what's those other little funny round looking? They're round and yellow and they're, oh, I can't think of the name of them.
Give me a yellow one. Give me another yellow one. Come on now. I know y'all been cooking, right? But she, I know you all know
What
some.
about, is it bell pepper?
I'll give you a yellow bell pepper. Give me one more. Give me one more.
All these people on here, come on. I said, all these people on here, come on, y'all.
Give me something else. Give me something that's yellow.
Let's see.
That's okay. Can we give them one more time? Just a little bit.
Lemons.
That's a fruit.
Lemons, bananas.
Bananas are fruit.
You're talking about veggies.
Veggies. So we have yellow squash.
Yellow spot. Okay, you got that already.
We have yellow bell pepper, and you also have the yellow hot peppers too. Do you have
About
those?
corn.
I'll give you corn. Corn's more starchy, but that we'll throw that in there
My
too.
wife just gave me that one.
Okay.
I thought corn was more of a grain, but okay.
Right. So when we talk about squash is a very powerful one. And that's why I talk about the real pharmacy, pharmacy, because each color has something medicinal that it does. So the ancestors and the good Lord, they didn't make no mistakes. Exactly what they were doing. So when you eat the yellow vegetables that are packed with that particular color, it fights a certain cancer. Some women, it could be breast cancer or uterine cancer with that yellow. As we know with tomatoes, with men, with the lycopenes in tomatoes, that helps it with our prostate health as well. And so we also have our purple. Name something purple. Everybody now, I think we're gonna make this into a sweepstakes,
Eggplant.
Professor.
Eggplant.
Onion.
Purple.
Eggplant, there we go. Purple onions. Can I get another purple?
Cabbage.
Purple cabbage. I think Professor Rob been on. Are you cheating over there, Professor? Are you?
No, my
I
wife be
know. I
glad
know
me.
as many tests as you have given. I don't know if you would let those students get an answer from somebody in the back. As many.
Purple greens. I got greens with purple stalks and it's purple all through the leaves.
Well, we have purple mustard greens at Bloom Ranch. The purple mustards are very, very powerful. The purple pigment has a very powerful thing with fighting certain cancers. GI tract is healthy for that. And that color happens to be good, I believe, for even memory as well. So also you have the purple in your blackberries and blueberries. So your plate should look like a rainbow or a flower. Plate should look like a, now if it looks like a two-piece biscuit thing from over there, that's all brown with biscuits, gravy, mashed potato, and two chicken wings, that's all brown. There's no color in that at all. Right? So I think that we should, as a people, begin to redefine our health by not counting calories, but count colors instead. Okay. Let's talk about another color, talk about orange. Give me some orange fruits and vegetables. We'll call orange as one, but give me another orange color pigmented.
Nectarine.
I take nectarines. That's in the same. And speaking of that, I just read an article about the skin of oranges is even more healthier than the flesh. The skin You can eat the skin of oranges. And the skin is very powerful for your digestive system. It's a natural antioxidant, helps to decrease inflammation, and it helps the healthy bacteria in your stomach as well. So you can always eat the skin of an orange. And that, and anything that has a kind of that bitter taste and that got a little tangy, you know it's probably packed with something. So it's not just the sweet part, the sugar part, but you can eat the skin as well. Of course, you've got our orange bell peppers. It's very powerful. But even persimmons are very powerful. That's an orange little thing you can put on a salad. You can cook with it. You can make jellies and jams. You can dry it and make a very natural trail mix out of that, which we do at Bloom Ranch as well.
What about that habanero? Isn't that like that color? Habanero is like an orange looking.
Yes, that's fine. That's exactly right. That will fit in there as well. So our plate, so we also have an app, Professor Raw, that we'll be launching as well, where you can track the colors you've eaten every day. So you may even get a reminder to say, you've had two colors, you got three more to go today. So you can make it even. You like that, Rashidi? Where you can have an app that can tell you or remind you that you need to eat two more colors. If you think that'd be my audience, this is something that I don't know everything. I just kind of go by instinct. Do you think that may get people to be engaged? And even you're going to have contests with your church, community, or your office department. What do you think, Brother Rashidi?
Rashiki.
Well, of course, you know, they have apps for everything. Why not have it for that? You know, and that's something we need. So definitely be good.
All right. I'm going to get some more questions, Dr. Weatherford. Brother Hembrick, do you have a question? A comment?
No, I'm just waiting to get to how can we order from them. That's what I'm
Well, we can always have a little commercial. You can go to bloomranchofacton.com. I'll put it in the chat. I think I can put it, the website in the chat. But www.bloomranch. And then just mention that you heard this on the show. And then we can get you set up.
That's everybody that's on the line. Bloom Ranch store.
I just send it to everybody right now. The link is there, Bloom Ranch. That's right. You can send that link to everybody where you can get a tour. We can have your vegetable ship. We have all our young men. Most of our young men are from the community. We grow our young men straight up from the ground. Everybody who comes to Bloom Ranch a lot of times. So click on click on that. Go back up. Go back up the other way. Right there. Click on the calendar where you see the young men. Go up, 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 right to your left, right there. Click on that. So we have a Bloom Ranch calendar that has been flying off the shelf. Our women, Professor Raw, this is not Chippendales, but they come to the Bloom Ranch. Look and scroll down a little bit more so you can stare. We go right there. So these are our young men from the community that we have grown straight up from the ground. Now, some of them I thought I was going to have to ship out. And can I tell you, can I tell the audience what I told you about? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, when they come, a lot of them have had, Professor Raw, how do you flunk PE? Some of them went to your Cal State Dominguez Hill and they flunked PE. You got to work hard to flunk PE. Mm-hmm. So when they get there, I tell the mamas, I said, don't you call the check on, we're going to say Jimmy. And when they get there, I do the orientation. So I say, you looking for hoes? We got plenty of hoes for you. So I give them a real hoe. I say, you looking for hoes? We got you. I said, I want you to build a relationship with this here. I want you to get to know this hoe right here. And they look at me like I'm crazy, but we work them pretty good. And when we get them out in those fields and orchards, no cell phones, don't click on anything, don't swipe to the left, don't swipe to the right. If you want to know something, you talk to me. I got everything you need to know. So you have to have both hands on that hoe. You can't have one cell phone like this and trying to go like, it doesn't work like that. I want full engagement. I want your undivided attention. And so we have really turned around a lot of young men who Bloom Ranch was their last stop. Their mamas and dads didn't know what they were going to do with them, but we got them there and we've taught them how to grow some of the best vegetables we believe in this country.
And also you run a strict discipline because they can't be late. You tell them no.
I tell them, first of all, no rags on your head. No do-rags. We can't have you walk around looking like Auntie Mama's baby. You're not going to do that here. Not doing that here. Mm. So that's number one, pull your pants. That's what we had the overalls on, so the pants won't be no sagging. Professor Raw, you put the overalls on. Won't be no sagging. So that's how we took care of the sagging, by putting them in overalls.
Okay.
And so that takes care of that. And if they late, I said, don't even bother stopping. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be late here. And so one of the things we do at Bloom Ranch is we have customer service training every day at 8:00. And I know Miss Peggy hasn't said much, but I'm not sure if anyone has been to our brunch. But we spend a lot of time making sure that it is a world-class experience. But there's nothing worse than going to one of our establishments, Black-owned, and the customer service is bad. We're not having that. We say good morning, you say your name, my philosophy is the answer is yes, now ask the question. That's the kind of customer service we have. The answer is yes, now ask the question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to go to Brother Ahi. You there?
I am. Good evening, but no questions.
Okay, then. What about Dr. Sherida? You there, Dr. Sherida? Sometimes she's in Ghana and we can't get through. All right. What about Mashinda? Mashinda?
Yeah. Good evening. No real questions. Just appreciate the positive information, you know, and like you say, you just got to adapt it, you know, kind of change your lifestyle and add some of these great things, you know, to your life, you know. So I totally concur. So anyway, I just appreciate the guests come on tonight and enlightening the masses. And appreciate you, man. Take care.
Thank you. I see a question in the chat from, I think it's Miss Peggy. Mm-hmm. She said, Dr. Bill, one kind of strange question. Jordan explained how the soil is mixed. Will you be selling soil for those who want to have their own garden in their apartment? Yes, so we will have this spring called Grow Where You Are campaign, where you can grow using our own soil, even our own seeds and some of our own little starter plants. So we've been licensed to have our own nursery now.
Creating a new style of government.
Well, go ahead.
You can have your own vegetables, like when you go to Lowe's or Home Depot's, your tomatoes and collard greens will give you your starters. But these are non-GMO seeds. These are not seeds that have been engineered. So you'll be able to get your soil, pots, and your seeds, the starter plants, from Bloom Ranch. So that's our program called Grow Where You Are.
Great.
Sister Peggy.
Okay. Well, what, Brother Rasha Key?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I just have a comment. I think that's excellent with the training of the young men. And we definitely need that young men training. So that's something good. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that feedback. Some of them have been, you know, our women have done an amazing job in this country. I think our black women have been the backbone of this thing we call a democracy. They're there with all the voters. You have the Fannies, Willises of the world. You've got the Letitia Jameses of the world and others that are doing remarkable things. Some of our mothers have been left alone in many instances to deal with some of these young men, and they overlove them. And I came up with a word, I may have read it somewhere, called pseudo-incest, where they just love them so much, it's almost like they have a relationship with their own son. They take them to the barbershop, the shopping for them, and getting the clothes clean and cooking for grown men and all that stuff like that. And so we've had to do a lot of deprogramming of some of the young men who come to the farm to get them back on the right track. And we tell them, Mama, don't call. If you call or come check on Jimmy, we're going to put him on the fastest thing smoking out of Acton back to you. So, but we are very proud with the impact that we've been able to make with some of our amazing young men that come to the ranch.
Yeah, but elaborate a little bit more about that pseudo incest, because I thought that was a very important point about sometimes the feminization of black males, their hairdos that women let them get, grow their hair as long as, and putting on jewelry in their ears and things of this nature, and even some get their eyebrows fixed and things of this nature. So if you want to elaborate on that, go ahead.
Well, full disclaimer, I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist. I'm just a black man that's seen a few things that I think have brought some concerns to me. I probably am old-fashioned when it comes to a lot of the things of men wearing purses and handbags and jewelry everywhere and, you know, and ponytails, and that just happens to me. I'm old school. Mm-hmm. However, I've seen where some of our women even get in the way with their young men being disciplined. Ooh. They don't want, if a man is around, they don't want him to whoop him. I've had a good friend of mine that was raising four boys by himself, and the mother, I think two or three mothers involved, and one of the kids was acting up at school, and she beat him there because she didn't want him to whoop him. Well, Jamal ended up being 6'5", and everybody's scared of him now because he got so big, because she didn't want anyone to discipline the young man. So I call that pseudo-incest, where she's treating her son like it's a mate or a spouse in many ways, which I think has been detrimental to our society, to me.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's been a lot of criticism, and there's some males that have been poor examples to the men. Some women get hooked up with gang, former gang members or gang members, cast out the penitentiary. And things of this nature, and they ain't changed their ways, and they cuss in front of the kids, smoke weed in front of the kids, got tattoos, gang tattoos, have his partners over there talking gang talk in front of the kids. So a lot of that's going on also, when you have, choose a mate, or choose somebody you're going to live with and raise your children with, you got to look for their character, you know, and their vision for the future, as well as for their image of what a man's responsibility is, and should be learning. Should be learning, you know, how to roll weed or how to sell weed from his daddy or the man in the house. You know, because some women You know, they just want some company, so they just get whatever out there, and they roll them up in there on their kids, and tragedies happen. You know, they beat, you know, it would be a bad thing. So that's my concern also. The other issue is when it comes down to getting back to the pharmacy, the real pharmacy, could you elaborate on when you say real pharmacy, what you mean by that?
What I mean is, you know, let thy food be thy medicine, where our food has the real pharmaceuticals that we need to stay healthy. I see Dr. Sharita says that in the chat, that she feels good in the morning when she takes or eats beet juice at night. Mm-hmm. And even, so even talk about the real pharmacy. If you want to, if you have problems going to sleep, get you some clove, some cinnamon, and honey. You take that clove and you make a tea out of it, the little cloves you can get online, put it in the microwave, and you let it sit there for about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you put some cinnamon powder in that with a little bit of honey, and you will sleep like a baby. And even you get a mild little decrease in body fat. So after about a month, you'll say, wow, is my stomach getting slimmer, waistline? And sure enough, you will see that the clove and cinnamon in particular is a natural medicinal, has medicinal properties for decreasing diabetes. So when I say the real pharmacy, so and many companies have found that that's, or studies have found that cinnamon is just as powerful as metformin, which is a diabetic medication from pharmaceutical companies. So when I talk about the real pharmacy, I'm using examples, you know, of that. And they even talk about high blood pressure. So not only will beets decrease high blood pressure, garlic will do the same, turnip greens, the bulb of the turnip, that would decrease high blood pressure, along with your basil and your dills would decrease blood pressure as well. So when we talk about the real pharmacy, your health could be, you could be super healthy eating high quality vegetables straight from the farm. Must see, pharmacy. So that's what I mean. That's a short example of what I mean by that. And there's other types of things. If you want to have your glowing skin, then you want to eat your carrots and your things that are in your kale that's high in vitamin A. Vitamin A is very good for your skin and your hair. So you want to eat those things. So we're working with UCLA and MLK to have what's called a stone box for kidney stones. So people that are prone to kidney stones, you can't eat certain vegetables. So we're working with those doctors and surgeons there to show that by eating the broccolis, the cauliflowers, and the kales will decrease the little thing called in your blood called oxalates that create the kidney stones. So we have what's going to call a stone box. So you're going to get your box tomorrow, which is going to be a lot of different things in it. But some people who have certain ailments, we're going to give them a very prescriptive box based upon what they're trying to control. We will have a pressure box, a pressure box to bring down your high blood pressure. So that's the real pharmacy. We'll have what's called a beauty box if you want to be beautiful and glamorous. Which is scanned, there's certain vegetables you should eat for that. We'll even have a box for, in the down the line, for those sisters who may be struggling a little bit with menopause. There's certain things you can eat that can decrease that, the hot flashes and things like that as well. So once again, that's what we mean by the real pharmacy.
Okay, now the other question, Joe, go ahead, Joe.
Hey, brother, appreciate the information. I have a garden myself in my backyard. I grow several things, nothing too much out there right now. But This is my, fourth year having my own garden.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And you see on my chest is Colonel Allen Allensworth that, you know, they started their own town up in middle of California. Anyway, I have a gout issue. That's one of them. That's probably my main issue. I haven't had an attack in a while. But which one of these vegetable boxes can help with something like that?
Well, that's something that has a lot to do with shellfish, certain beans, and high protein, a high protein diet. So if you're eating things like hot links, shrimp, lobster, any of those sound familiar?
Yeah, I don't eat no shellfish. I wean myself off red meat. I haven't had red meat in like 20-some years. I got off the shellfish. Well, I won't lie. Every now and then I get a shrimp. But maybe once every 6 months, something like that, when I buy some fish. But I found I had to get off of spinach, cauliflower. I can't mess with. I've been doing pretty good here lately.
Collard greens would be good for that if you can't eat the cauliflower. If you can't eat the cauliflower, can you eat kale?
No.
Okay. Then Swiss chard would be an alternative to that.
Is Swiss chard in the spinach family?
It's kind of a cross between the spinach and the collard green is in the mix, but it depends on how sensitive you are with gout. And some people just have a genetic predisposition. And that's whatever you do, that's, you know, you can try all kind of things. And if it's just in your genes, you may just be one of those lucky ones that it's going to be difficult to manage sometimes. Does it run in your family?
No. I used to eat a whole lot of shrimp and lobster back in the day. You know, I used to go to the Black Whale on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And then I was red meat, you know, the red meat, you know, you grew up on that. Bologna and hamburgers and all that crap, but I've got off of that and I started substituting turkey instead. But sliced turkey, you know, does me harm. The ground turkey doesn't mess with me too bad. But I eat some sliced turkey, man.
That's still kind of processed meat.
Right,
sliced turkey. You got to put some nitrates, a little bit of nitrates in that just to preserve it, and salt and sodium too. So that would kick it off.
Cool. Just say this about the young brothers you got out there, and I know this for a fact. You talk about the ancestors and our communication and being out in that sun. Our people need a commune with nature.
Yes, sir.
Get out there and see what nature is talking about, not what's on TV and all that old crap. But what is the sun, Brother Ra, doing for you? You got to sit out there and let that melanin get activated so we can communicate with those ancestors. That's all I want to say.
Good. So I see a question talks about what about collagen? So you want those things that vitamin C is a precursor to collagen. So you want your citrus fruits that would be good for collagen development. Those vegetables that are high in biotin would help to, and that the collagen is great for skin. Skin elasticity is what you want for collagen development. Of course, those people who do the bone broth, beef bone broth is great for collagen development. So just because you eat a lot of vegetables, I mean, you got to be a vegan or a vegetarian, you still can eat some red meat and things like that. So we're not trying to make everybody a vegan or a vegetarian. We want you to increase your vegetable intake and not having any processed meats, hot dogs, hamburgers, hot links, and things like that.
Do you have you got your R&B started yet?
So we have our Airstreams. So our Airstreams are out there. We're going to launch those in early spring.
What's an Airstream?
Airstreams are those, they look like the little silver trailers, the old ones they used to carry around and park at a campsite.
Mm-hmm.
They're very elegant inside. They have the shower and everything. So at Bloom Ranch, we have the river happens to be running right now at at Bloom Ranch. The Santa Clara River begins at Bloom Ranch, and the Santa Clara River is the longest unobstructed river in the state of California that begins right at Bloom Ranch before it goes to the ocean. So you have those, if you went out there, you can do what we call some glamping. Glamping is glamorous camping, so you don't want to be on the ground. Mm-hmm. And some folks, they want to camp, they want to be on the ground, they still want to still be glamorous while they camping. So that's a new word that they talk about right now. So, but yes, you can do that. And we also, in the next 6 months, will have some what we call these little pods where you can come out and stay. There are a lot of prefab little areas where you can spend the night there. So that's coming in the middle of the year. So we're very happy to have that type of accommodation as well.
Is it handicap friendly?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
That's good. The other question is, we sometimes, I heard this term that Big Pharma is like a cartel. And, and you see the advertising. Now that they've made them start telling you the side effects to a certain degree. What's your position on digestion? You know, a lot of us, because we eat bad, have constipation and have some even have diarrhea. What is the best cure for constipation, and what's the best natural cure for diarrhea?
Well, so constipation means you're not getting enough fiber, natural fiber, which you eat some collard greens, especially broccoli, that's going to keep you super regular. So the best thing for constipation is eat a lot of leafy green vegetables, especially cabbage, collard greens, Swiss chard. It's when you're eating a lot of processed foods, potato chips, bread, hot dogs, hamburgers, you will get backed up for real.
And what about diarrhea? How do you?
Well, diarrhea is usually caused by something, some kind of reaction or irritation of the gut, which may be addressed by another thing other than diet. That's probably, you don't want to eat a lot of leafy green things then, because that may keep you running like a river. And that thing. So if you do have persistent diarrhea, that's usually your body trying to tell you, let me get rid of quickly what you've been putting into me. It could be food poison or something like that. So that's a little bit more complex than just constipation. The diarrhea could be due to reaction to bad food, especially bad seafood, spoiled food, shellfish, and things like that. So that you'll need to find the cause of the diarrhea versus a dietary thing first, then go back to a healthy diet like that. That's what I recommend.
And some people think that an avocado will help you with constipation.
Avocado could, even ginger could, but I recommend finding out the root cause of the diarrhea.
Constipation.
Avocado. Okay, yeah. Avocado. It could. Mm-hmm. It could. But the best one is a good bowl of collard greens. Guaranteed.
Yeah, okay.
Guaranteed. Or some Swiss chard or even cabbage. Sea moss. Okay, it's good. That's Dr. Peggy. Yes.
Any other questions anybody have? Are you gonna have any entertainment up there for Black History Month?
Yes, we have. Of course, we have our regular jazz brunch, but we will have some Black History Month events. I gotta look at the calendar, but we have something I think on near the end of the month. We'll have some African drummers. We'll have some libation, things like that, near the end of the month for Black History Month. But we try to do something almost every month for that. I do want to ask a question before we close. So this gives you an idea of what our events look like. Mm-hmm. in January, and our jazz brunch is something we're very, very proud of. Initially, was it last year, Professor Raw? Before, so I'm from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I made my first quarter picking cotton. And I wanted to dedicate an acre to tell my story of how our people built this country. This country was built on the backs of African Americans in the cotton industry. I got mixed feedback, like, don't do that, or because you're going to make people think you're trying to grow cotton, have black folks picking cotton. The other folks say, go ahead and tell your story, how you went from picking cotton to become a doctor to owning a farm. What is the feedback from the audience here before we close on me dedicating a patch of cotton to tell so people who come there can see the legacy of what our people have done to build this country? I'm opening us up for discussion.
Well, my father took me down to, I think it was not Lancaster, the Palmdale. Mm-hmm. Cotton one. Mm-hmm. And a jackrabbit jumped up and I ran. And I ain't been back in the field since. But, you know, I'm just telling you. But it's very thorny. And you can get stuck if you don't know how to go in there with your fingers and pick it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, it's very light. And when they talk about they picked 100 pounds of cotton, that's a lot of picking. You understand? And I remember going to Louisiana, seeing them fields out there. You know, people are working in the fields and things of that nature. It's a hell of a... Now, when you go and you see a cotton field, it's nothing but buds all like a big old area. And man, they be in the rows, and some of them women, it's back-breaking work.
Should I dedicate a patch to commemorate what you just talking about?
Yeah, it's history. Go ahead, Joe, you had that.
Prior to cotton becoming an issue, and I know a lot of people don't talk about this, but a couple of hundred years before that, it was hemp. Hemp was used and grown for many, many sources, other than smoking. It was used, for a whole lot of stuff. And when the cotton industry kind of boomed, it kind of kicked, hemp to the side. They used to make shirts out of it, rope out of it, stucco out of it, and all of that, other than just smoking. And also with the weed itself, it has some, health benefits also.
George Washington had a hemp farm. And he said they tried to say he was growing it for to make ropes out of it. But then they said he was separating the plants and things of this nature, so they knew it was more than that. Plus, they had what they called hash clubs when they first came over here, tobacco clubs, where people smoked it. But I think growing that, developing that patch that you talk about will be a very, very interesting acre, especially if the cotton grows and when people come up there and they really go out there and try to pick some and see how their parents or their ancestors
had
to do from sun up to sun down. Mm-hmm.
You know? So you think that I should, to commemorate, and so this is a challenge I have with people. I say everybody tells their story about how their daddy came here with a nickel from Switzerland and it built this and that, but we can't tell our story.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I really think it's good also. Not only would it be historical content, it would be educational too. And will there be information about actually how to grow cotton?
All of that, it'll be,
yeah,
it'll be more educational about historical, about how this country was built on the backs of Black people in the cotton industry. We're not necessarily how to grow cotton. This is commemorating historically. So Bloom Ranch, when we give our tours, that tell a story.
Okay.
And part of that story is my story about me. Everyone tells their story, but we're so reluctant about hurting other folks' feelings when we tell our story. Mm-hmm. We got to tiptoe around that we don't hurt nobody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so for me, I don't want to do that. And I think next year, or maybe this year, the cotton planting season starts in April. And so I'll need to decide if I'm going to dedicate a half an acre to cotton for historical purposes. And you'll have a little placard talking about the cotton industry and what it did historically for this country, for the Industrial Revolution. That's just me.
I think it's a good idea. Anything that relates to history. Malcolm X said that history is the best science to reward all research. And nothing about practicum, not just reading about the cotton fields, but actually seeing them. See, I grew up in Watson, Compton, and I'm a street brother, street. But, you know, you take kids out to the farm and let them see reality like you take those young men out there. They might as well see not only what's going on today, but what happened before and the contribution that those our parents made and survived the Holocaust of enslavement. And at the same time, it, as you said, this country profited from it. And you can talk about the exploitation and the abuse that they didn't just have grown people picking cotton. Kids, when they were big enough, had to go out there and pick it. You understand? All day and all night on some
cotton. So what
and
we
the hemp fields do.
What we did at Bloom, so during the summertime, the peaches were ripe. We have 4,000 peach trees out there, and Bloom Ranch is known for the best peaches in this country. This particular day, ice was around, so our Spanish brothers that were there didn't show up. So the brothers, I told them, I said, well, these peaches are ripe right now. We're going to have to pick them. Mm-hmm. It's about 100 degrees. And so they were looking a little frowning. And I said, what I want us to do, let's reframe this. I want you to feel one day what it felt, must have felt like to pick fruit or vegetables in the heat for free on land you didn't own. But we own this land and y'all getting paid. But I want you to feel what it was feel, must have felt like for our ancestors to do it from sun up to sundown, from the beginning of their life, from babies to their, from the cradle to the grave. So we did that at Bloom. And the last story is there's a, and Dr. Sherita may understand what I'm talking about. So I've been to Ghana many, many times. And I researched this cowpea. The cowpea was developed in West Africa. Are you familiar with that, Dr. Sherita? And that pea, the story goes, was bought over by the slaves, the women in their hair. And we found that pea, and we grew that pea, and that pea was so nutritious. So the story, Professor Raw, was that the pea was so nutritious and high, had so much protein in it, that it sustained the slaves through the Middle Passage.
Mm.
We actually grew that pea, and it, I think it connected to a lot of Black folks' DNA. It really spoke to me and my family as well. Dr. Sherita, are you familiar with that pea? She's not. But that pea, have you heard of that pea, Professor Rod, the cow pea?
No, I haven't heard of that.
The cow pea is pretty well known, and it's all on, it was developed in West Africa. It's all on the west coast of West Africa, and that pea was so nutritious that it maintained the slaves during the Middle Passage. So we grew that pea, and we sold that pea. And what we did at the jazz brunch, we had the caterers make it, and then everyone was talking about, wow, these taste so good. And we told them where we had it in the store for them to buy it, and they were sold out in a matter of minutes.
That's good to know.
So we'll have that cowpea this year too.
It's called cowpea.
Cow, C-O-W, cowpea.
Cowpea. Interesting.
All right. I'm sorry. I think I heard my name. This is Dr. Sharita. I'm multitasking over here.
Okay. I was talking about the cowpea from West Africa. And once, yes. You know, are you familiar with that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
We grew that at Bloom. And the story goes is that it was so nutritious that it maintained the slaves during the Middle Passage. So we found that pea and we grew it. And it was, the flavor was spectacular.
What is it? Cow pea, I mean.
It looks like a black eyed pea, kind of.
Oh, it's a pea.
But it's a pea.
I thought you were talking about pea.
A cow pea, not the cow pea. No,
no. I always understood them to be the same thing. Because we, like when I'm getting peas or beans in Ghana, they call it a cow peas.
Yes.
The black eyed pea, I think, is what we call it.
Yes, it's similar, but there's one that is like all a single color. It's not the different black and white one. It's just kind of all brown, but it's a cow pea, P-E-A, Professor Raw.
I got it.
Oh, it's like a reddish color, reddish brown?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah, they're small. Okay, like the Jamaicans.
Yes, so we grew the cow pea, P-E-A. And it was so, and that the story goes that it was so nutritious that it maintained the slaves during the Middle Passage because it was high in protein.
That's good to know. All right, thanks enough for that. Any other questions before we let Dr. Rutherford go? Yeah, go ahead, Brother Ernest.
Cotton were around, I grew up in Long Beach, you know, and I stayed on like New York and Lemon Street. Well, one block down on New York and Cerritos, it's right there by the New Hope Church and Homes. It was a gentleman there that grew a, I think it was like two cotton bushes.
Mm-hmm.
He would invite the kids around there, and I think they still grow them every year. You know, the guy, whoever was, and my mother would tell us, you guys need to go around there and look, and, you know, tell my brothers and sisters, please go around there and look so you know what it looks like. And he'd let you come in and feel it. And I don't, for the life of me, I don't see how people could pick that without ripping your hands apart, you know.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you got some in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
People grow cotton. Right. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, question. You were talking about the feeling of orange, and the benefits from that. I had an uncle who was a cook in the military. He went to cooking school,
mm-hmm.
Army, and he used to make biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
Use the peeling of an orange. He would grate it and put it into the biscuits and whatnot.
There you go. Yes.
Any other way that you can prepare that? You know, I kind of do a lot of juicing. Can I put the peelings of orange in a juicer and get
you
it?
Can, you can. The medicinal properties are still there. Well, you know, look at what Big Mama used to do with the marmalade. They used to take the lemon and orange peel and make a marmalade. That's what that is. So their recipes, you know, of course, is nice and sweet, a lot of sugar in that. But you can eat the raw orange peel.
You got anywhere to prepare it? Any particular way to prepare it?
I'm not much of a cook like that. I just would eat it raw. I just eat it raw. Go straight to the source. I wouldn't mess it up. Me.
Raw is best. Raw is best. All right. Appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Raw and team. And I have another call I got to take in the
future. All right. Then, well, let, I'm going to tell you this, Dr. Russell. You know you got a standing invitation anytime.
I will.
Anytime you, this will be on YouTube. And we're going to be pushing it hard. It'll be on our website too, so people can come and hear that. This was fantastic, brother.
Thank you so much for
knowledge, and we deeply appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come and enlighten us with your wealth of knowledge, brother.
But thank you so much. I thank you so much. It's a pleasure and an honor. And you keep doing the work you're doing, Professor Raw.
Okay, then. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Come to see you soon.
All right. My wife's been planning a trip up there and her friends.
How long does it take to get up there and address from this area here in Southern California?
We'll get that information, Ernest, and to get it to you. It's not that far out. I think they say about 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh.
Yeah, to get to Bloom Up Ranch.
In Acton, California.
Okay. Excellent presentation. So tomorrow we have a political columnist, Mike Jones. And the topic is the Black community. And he posed a question, the road ahead. So we're going to have a discussion tomorrow. And then on Thursday, excuse me, Professor Rock?
No, go ahead.
And then we have on Thursday, we have another Roots Reggae Reasoning session. Mm-hmm. We have Shaka Man coming on. He's a drummer.
Mm.
So that's on Thursday. And if you want to attend, you just click this flyer here and you'll be on there. It's on Thursday. All right, Professor Ra.
Okay, I'm trying to get the brother that operates what they call City Pride magazine for the city of Compton. I'll try to close that deal tomorrow.
Okay.
And he'll be on next Tuesday. And he'll talk about all what they're doing. Either that or somebody from the Historical Society. They just did a tribute to Mr. Newman's wife this past Saturday, where they had Jim Newman's wife and talked about his legacy and her legacy.
And then they had a tribute to Maxie D. Filer.
Oh, yeah.
They named a corner after him on Arbutus.
Yeah.
Arbutus and Matheson.
Yeah, well, Matheson. I can get his son, Calvin, the judge, to come on.
That'll be good to highlight that.
All right.
Okay. Then. Each one teach one in Conscious Quarter. Everybody continue to have a great day.
All right, then.